Welcome to the Hustle Sanely podcast, a show inviting you to live a peacefully productive life. I'm your host, Jess Massey, a peaceful productivity coach and planner creator. My mission is to share mindset shifts and peaceful productivity tips that help people with really full lives go from running on fumes to living with intention in every season. You're in the right place if you want to design a life that reflects your actual priorities so you can stop the constant hustle and pursue your goals while prioritizing your well-being. Now, take a deep breath and let's learn how to hustle sanely. Hey, hi, hello, and welcome back to the show. It is the fourth Tuesday of the month, which means, as I'm sure you know by now, I am not alone. I've got a guest on with me today, and y'all, this is a juicy one. I can tell you right now that you're going to want to take notes during this one, so get ready. I don't know if you need to grab a pen and paper, if you want to have the notes app open on your phone, like whatever you need to do. But today, I am chatting with Amy all about how to be a high achiever without feeling highly stressed. Dr. Amy Hoy is certified in traumatic stress studies by the Trauma Research Foundation. She has been working in the field of trauma for 10 years as a researcher of mass trauma and individual trauma. She is an author, podcaster and speaker, and is passionate about helping others learn to break free from the chains of past trauma using research and science. Okay, you guys, I hope that you enjoy my conversation with Amy. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you on today.
Thank you so much. I am super excited to be here and to chat with you.
I know that we kind of already talked about this a little bit before I hit record, but just so that the Hustle Sanely community is on the same page as us, I think this conversation is so timed so perfectly well for the time of year that it is, because we're almost 3 months into 2024 by the time the listeners are hearing this conversation. And there's a handful of people are getting a little tired from pursuing their goals. Maybe they're feeling a little bit stressed out, a little bit overwhelmed. Maybe those, you know, familiar feelings of burnout are starting to creep in. And I don't want that. I don't want them to have to live that way. So I was like, okay, we are going to bring Dr. Amy on and we're going to talk about stress in a way that is realistic, because I feel like if you Google something like, how do I stop being so stressed out? I feel like, you know, the answers are endless and it can feel overwhelming. You don't know where to start. So that's why I'm really excited to have this conversation with you, because I feel like you're going to be able to give us like very hustle sanely aligned advice and just very pointed advice that makes sense for ambitious women, which is who we're talking to on this show. So before we get into all that juicy stuff, can you start by just telling us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what your most important roles are in life, what you're passionate about, all that good stuff? I know it's the hardest question. Like, we always start out with the hardest question.
Absolutely. Well, in a way, it's an easy question for me because I am a lot of things. I wear a lot of hats, like everyone else I know, you included. And of course, I'm a business owner and I have a PhD and I have children. I have 5 children. My most important role, without a doubt, is mom. My 100%, like most anyone else I know, I would burn everything else to the ground if it was that or being a mother. And not because that's where my identity is wrapped up, but because I truly believe it is my most important role, including modeling how to hustle in a way that is healthy for my kids for when they grow up. Mm. So absolutely. So I am a doctor of philosophy. I have a PhD in religion and ethics and a specialization in trauma. I'm certified in trauma. Mm-hmm. I run a business that helps people recover from trauma and toxic stress. And I'm a mom of 5 and of course a wife. So
I love how you spoke on motherhood, how it's your most, you know, prized role, but you don't find your identity in it. I feel like I could have a whole podcast episode just on that. So we won't go down that rabbit hole right now, but I just want to let you know, I really, really like how you worded that. I think that's so beautifully said and it probably resonated with a lot of people listening. So before we dig into the stress chat, I want to do a few rapid fire questions just so if you are someone new to the listener, they've never heard of you, they don't know anything about you, I like them to feel like they have like some foundation of who you are, right? So can you share with us what book you're currently reading, or if you're more of like a podcast listener, what podcast you're currently loving? And you can share one of each too, if you're a book reader and a podcast listener.
Yeah. The book I'm loving is Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. I think it's Matthew Walker. And it's awesome because, you know, like most high achieving women, sleep can sometimes be elusive. And so I'm always trying to hack my sleep and be able to get enough sleep. Love that book. And then the podcast I'm obsessed with is The Huberman Lab. I love the science behind all of the reasons awesome. That things happen to our body and our mind. And I absolutely love listening to Andrew Huberman.
I actually just subscribed to that podcast. I haven't listened to any episodes yet, but my therapist recommended that I subscribe to it because we've been working together, gosh, going on 3 years now. And she understands that I need to know why I'm doing something. She knows that that's a value of mine. I can't just like blindly walk in and be like, okay, yeah, this is what I'm going to do to help myself. Like, I'm the type of person like, okay, I'll do it as long as you tell me why I'm doing it. So she's like, I really think you would enjoy this podcast. And then absolutely. I really am interested to read that book that you mentioned on sleep, because that's actually a goal of mine for 2024. Now that I'm kind of out of the newborn phase, my daughter turned one in December and she's a great sleeper. Praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
That's something that I'm just really wanting to kind of pay attention to in my own life. I recently bought an alarm clock so that I don't have my phone next to my bed. And actually the day that we're recording this, we have a new mattress being delivered because my husband and I have been sleeping on the same mattress for an embarrassing amount of time. So we invested. It was kind of like our Christmas present to each other, kind of lame, but hey, we're in our 30s. That's what we do. So we have a new like legit mattress coming and I cannot tell you how excited I am, truly.
Oh, sleep is everything, 100%. And I don't think it's lame. I think it's amazing. It's going to change your life completely.
Yes, I'm so excited. Okay, the next question. Do you know your Enneagram number?
I believe I'm an 8. I haven't looked a lot into what an 8 is. I know I'm a little bit of a driver, but I think I'm an 8.
Awesome. That's my second highest is the 8 as well. So I resonate with that a lot. I feel like it's when I think of an 8, I feel like the word aggressive comes to mind, but I don't think aggressive is negative. Like when I think of the word aggressive, I think like just someone who's very forward and you're just like, you know what? This is who I am. And like, this is what I've got to say and I'm going to say it. You know what I mean?
Yep. That's me, girl.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Last little fun question before we dive into our conversation today. What is one product that you are really loving right now? And you can take this any direction you want. It can be a snack. It can be something that you're using in your morning routine. It can be literally anything that you want to share that you're loving right now.
I am loving my Healy device. It uses electromagnetic resonance and it helps a lot with my sleep and with headaches. I absolutely love it. It's a Healy, it's like a little device I wear and it does micro pulses throughout the day of different programs. So if I'm feeling stressed or if I'm not able to sleep, it changes the electromagnetic resonance of your body and helps you target some of that for your health. And I absolutely love it. I use it every day.
Wow. I have never heard of that, but that sounds incredible. Where do you wear it? Is it like a bracelet type of thing?
It's like a little box by about 2 inches by 2 inches. And I just clip it onto like my bra. So it's under my shirt. I've seen people clip it, mm-hmm. you know, on their back. You can put it pretty much anywhere. You can put it in your pocket. Yeah. It's an incredible device.
Very cool. I'm envisioning like a beeper. I don't know if that ages me a little bit, yeah. but that's just what I imagine.
Old school.
Yeah.
But it's beeping health.
Yeah, right? I love it. Okay. Yep. So I am so stoked to get into our topic today because, like I mentioned at the beginning, I think it's just going to be really beneficial for the Hustle Scene community. I already told them in the intro to make sure to have a notepad and a pen ready because I already know that this one is just going to be so full of such tangible, good information. But I want to start with the basics just so that we can get everybody listening on the same page because I feel like when people think about trauma or they hear the word trauma, and when I say people, I am people. I used to think this way until I started going to therapy myself and actually learned what trauma is. But I think a lot of people tend to think that it has to be this one-time devastating event. So can you describe to us, how do you define trauma? What is trauma when you're talking about it?
Absolutely. I love the definition that trauma is a pattern of events or an event that leaves you unable to cope. It overwhelms you and it overwhelms you to the point where it changes the way you perceive yourself and the world around you in a more negative light. And this can be bad stuff that happens, and it can also be the good stuff that we didn't get. For instance, in childhood, if we weren't raised with a lot of affection or we weren't raised with consistency or a sense of calm and safety. And so that's my favorite definition of trauma.
Oh, that's so good. I love the part that you added at the end where it's not just something that does happen, but it can be something that doesn't happen as well. That's something that I unpacked with my therapist a couple years ago. And that was such like one of those light bulb moments where it kind of like blew the roof off my brain. I was just like, hold on a second. Like, I need to chew on this for a minute. So I'm really glad that you included that in your definition. So when I think of a high achiever, I think of someone who is ambitious, goal-oriented, self-disciplined, someone who is driven to pursue and accomplish goals that are meaningful to them, aka a lot of the women here in the Hustle Sanely community. So again, just so we're all on the same page, how would you define a high achiever? Is there anything that you would add to that, take away from that?
I think the only other thing I would add is that we tend to have almost like a revved up motor that, because I identify in this category as well, and we're kind of go, go, go. And so we don't have to have like a really important job or title. It's more of an internal nature where we are driven to do what's important to us, as you said. And it might not fit the external world's view of what's important, but it really is an internal drive.
Yeah, that is a really good point that it's not always, you know, about how people are seeing us act and perform and think. It's kind of like a mindset almost in a way, like an internal thing, a way that you're kind of showing up in your life. And I think, you know, also too, how you mentioned that we're kind of drivers, always go, go, go. I feel like, you know, there's always a constant like hum in our brain almost. So can you give us some examples of common trauma that you've seen in high achieving women specifically?
Yes. So one of the things we notice from high achieving women specifically is that there tends to be a history of some sort of addiction in their family of origin. And that can be substance abuse. It can be an addiction to work, to gambling. One of their caregivers or someone close to them in their family of origin struggled with addiction, which, of course, produces this need to, one, stay out of trouble, and two, really shine in order to get positive attention. And so that's something we see a lot of. It's not always the case, but we definitely see a lot of that. We also see mental illness in the caregivers at times of people who become high achievers. So, you know, my own family, my mom had undiagnosed anxiety and depression. My dad was a workaholic. So that produced a very certain one work ethic for me because I was trying to model, you know, my father, but also try and, you know, look at me, I'm doing really well. And so those can be maladaptive in a way when they come out of trauma and childhood trauma. And which I love so much about your podcast, we can then shift them to be adaptive and to do it in a way that works for us and is healthy.
Yeah, I am so thank you for your kind words about the podcast at the end there. I'm like over here. I have a long sleeve shirt on, so she can't see my arms, but I have goosebumps over here because what you described is my childhood as well, both sides of it, like you. And so I'm just like, wow, I've never heard that before. And it makes a lot of sense. And I bet for a lot of people listening, they're like, oh my gosh, this makes a lot of my life make sense as well. And so I just want to, say that if you heard that and it hurts a little bit, like stings a little bit, I think that's normal and I think that's okay. And I think I would encourage you if you're listening and you're just like, ooh, ouch, to keep listening with kind of an open mind and an open heart. Because I feel like what you said at the end there, how you can – you're not stuck there. You don't have to operate in an unhealthy capacity. And that's something that when I started going to therapy in 2019, that's when I started shifting out of what I call hustle culture and kind of taking, you know, those patterns and those things that I had adopted as a child, as a little girl. I can remember, you know, operating this high achieving way all the way back to elementary school. My husband and I, you know, we talk about like our times because we didn't know each other back then. So we're sharing like our experiences and our stories and gosh, just kind of unpacking that stuff with this definition in mind. It just makes so much sense. And so I was able to, through the help of my therapist, kind of take what I experienced as a kid, the trauma that I experienced as a kid, and I'm not stuck there. And now I really can say it's taken a few years, but I've undone the healthy patterns and kind of rewired my brain so that I'm still me. I'm still a hard worker. I'm still a high achiever, but I'm doing it from a healthy place rather than a place of striving or, you know, trying to find my identity in my achievements and things like that. So can you kind of speak a little bit about I don't know if reversal is the right word that I'm looking for, but kind of pivoting, I guess, is a better word, out of the, you know, the unhealthy way of showing up as a high achiever into a healthier way to show up as a high achiever?
Sure. Yeah. And this is something I went through as well when I discovered, you know, what was really driving this need to constantly achieve and then mm-hmm. not really even give myself credit for that achievement and just move on to the next achievement. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, one of the ways that we can reverse some of this and still maintain who we are, our great work ethic, our great enthusiasm, and our great drive, those are gifts, I think, that come out of trauma. And I think trauma does a lot of things to us, and I think it's awesome to look at the great that it gives us. But one of the ways we do that is by paying attention to our nervous system. So that stress that we feel when we're going after our goal is a nervous system response. And the nervous system is really our relational system. It's the system in our body that is in charge of assessing threat or safety. So it's either going to protect us or it's going to help us connect with other people. And it operates below the conscious awareness. And so once we start understanding our nervous system, and we start becoming aware of what our nervous system sensations are, like that tightness in my chest I feel, or the sick stomach ache from having too much on my plate, then I can get curious about what's going on. And once we're curious, that's when we can start kind of making active choices. We don't have to drive 100 miles an hour towards our goal. We can go 80 one day, and then we can slow it down. We are developing flexibility in our thinking and our nervous system. And you mentioned rewiring your brain. The nervous system can also be rewired. We have neuroplasticity in our brain and our nervous system. So it just benefits us to create awareness and then start making more active choices. And that's how we reshape it.
Wow. My jaw's like hitting the floor because I did not know that. This is new information for me that I knew obviously that you can rewire your mind because I just talked about it, but I had no idea that we could rewire our nervous system. Can we talk about that a little bit? Just some ways that if somebody right now, they know, they're like nodding their head listening, they're like, yes, that is me. I am in overdrive all the time and not in a healthy way. I'm, you know, 150% every day and I'm exhausted. I feel like a shell of myself. I know that my heart isn't in the right place as I'm pursuing these things. What are some really tangible things that someone could do today or tomorrow, like pretty quickly, to start to kind of level out their nervous system?
That is a great question. So the first thing to do is just be aware. And once we're aware, there's three different parts of our nervous system. There's ventral, which is like, I feel so good. The sun is shining. The music's perfect. I want to call my best friend. That's ventral. Then we have sympathetic, which is our fight or flight, right? And so that's a lot of mobilizing energy. And a lot of us high achievers are stuck in our sympathetic part of our nervous system. And then we have dorsal. And dorsal is where we feel really collapsed. So a very tangible thing you can do today or tomorrow is to figure out what is happening with your nervous system. Are you feeling collapsed? Are you feeling like you have all this energy where you just can't turn your motor off? Or are you feeling really connected? And then once you feel that, once you understand that awareness, then you can get curious. Okay, I'm in collapse. All right, to get out of collapse or dorsal vagal, I need to have some rest. Just rest a little bit. Our body is telling us we need rest. If you're in sympathetic, if you're in fight or flight, okay, I'm going to do some breath work. I love breath work. That's my favorite tool to use when I'm really stressed. And I'm going to help calm my nervous system down. And then if you're in ventral, I mean, I feel like that's the place we all want to be, super open and connected and creative.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about breath work a little bit because I feel like it's something that's very, very underutilized and it's free. It's something that is free for everyone. It's accessible for everyone. And it's something that you can do in the moment. You don't have to be like, oh, when I get home tonight, I will do some breath work. Like you can pause in the moment anytime, I feel like, right? And do a little bit of breath work. So I feel like it should be something that's like pretty high up in our toolbox. So can you give us some strategies, some, you know, specific breath work exercises that you would recommend to somebody who maybe has never tapped into breath work, or it just seems like a foreign concept to them? I mean, obviously we all know how to breathe, but intentional breath work.
Yeah. That's a great point because we do know how to breathe, but most of us don't ever engage the belly in our breathing. And so we're breathing very shallow when we're stressed. So my favorite breath work tool is called the physiological sigh. Sometimes you'll hear people talk about the double breath sigh. And recent studies just that came out in 2023 show that if you do this for just 5 minutes a day, you will decrease depression and anxiety, which is awesome.
Wow.
So it goes like this. You do one inhale through your nose and you do another inhale through your nose right away and you hold it. So it's 1, 2 in through your nose, hold it, and then a deep sigh out your mouth. And it's so simple, but it really, really resets your brain and helps with just deep breathing, which is going to help your nervous system as well.
Yeah. So it's kind of like an actual reset for your nervous system in a way, like an in-the-moment reset, because I think a lot of people – myself included, we know what can kind of calm us down, but sometimes we don't always have access to the things that calm us down. Like if we're in the middle of a meeting or we're in the school pickup line or, you know, we're living life, we're busy, ambitious women, we can't always, you know, reach for our journal or, you know, pull out our favorite affirmations app or go on a quick walk outside. Like it's just this breathwork tool is just, I I feel like it's one of those things, like my therapist has told me over and over again, like how important this is and how beneficial it is, but it's like in one ear and out the other. And I feel like it's just when you hear it from somebody else, you're like, oh, wait a second. Like this is actually something, like they're onto something here. And I feel like just hearing you describe it and mentioning the studies and things like that, it kind of just is making me want to tap into this a little bit more. So thank you so much for sharing that. I feel like that is 100% something that people can tap into immediately, like at any point.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love it because you can do 5 minutes a day, mm-hmm. but you can do less.
Totally. You can build up. Sorry. No, you're okay. I
just love it because
I feel like you could almost build up to the 5 minutes too. I know when I used to, when I was first getting started with meditation, 5 minutes seemed like a really dang long time to sit there and like kind of, you know, focus on just my thoughts and, you know, just be intentional about, you know, what I was doing. And so I started with 1 minute and now 5 minutes is hardly anything to me meditating. Like I can do it no problem. So I feel like it's the same thing, breathing. And I feel like to another, like we've been talking about, you can do it anywhere. You can do it. You don't have to set aside like 5 extra minutes on the end of your morning routine. If you don't have that in this season of your life, you could do it in the car pickup line while you're at school, like waiting. You know what I mean? Like you can kind of weave it in like habit stack in a way. I feel like it's a habit that's very easily stackable, if that makes sense.
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so the next thing that I kind of want to dig into, when it does come to trauma, I feel like we kind of touched on this a little bit, but I want to go a little bit deeper. Can you heal it, or is it something that's going to kind of remain this underlying thing that you consistently need to manage? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So I think there's two approaches. There is an approach where people say you'll never get over it and you just have to manage it. I actually believe you can heal trauma. I also have a growth mindset. Mm-hmm. So healing trauma, you can get over the original trauma, you can grow, but you don't, that's just the beginning of your personal development, I think. But you know, I suffered abuse as a child, abuse of all different kinds. Managed to escape a domestic violence relationship when I was in my 20s.
Wow.
And after going through trauma recovery and doing all the work, I have a beautiful, calm marriage with beautiful children who, of course, you know, they're teenagers, so things are always a little spicy. But I would say I'm like 98% healed and have a wonderful life I never thought would be possible. So I am definitely in the camp that you can absolutely heal trauma. And that's probably the beginning of your journey because you're one going to keep, you know, growing and developing.
Oh, for sure. Well, thank you so much for being vulnerable with us and sharing that, your experience with us. That means a lot to me that you feel safe and comfortable enough to share that here on the show. And I love that, you know, you are where you are today and you just didn't expect that. But like you said, you did the work to heal from the trauma. So can we touch on that just a little bit? If somebody's like, okay, I recognize that I experienced trauma, like they're no longer avoiding it. They're not pretending that it didn't happen. Like they're ready to come face to face with it and heal from it. What is something that they can do to start taking those steps to heal? When we're talking about like doing the work, and I'm putting that in air quotes because I feel like that's a phrase that, you know, a lot of people hear online, just like doing the work. There's like a book. Isn't there like a new book that just came out? Like do the work, doing the work. And so I want to kind of explain that a little bit. Like what is doing the work?
Sure. Well, the funny thing is with trauma is there are several different types of therapy that are considered kind of the gold standard for healing trauma. And the first one is EMDR. And that is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy. And that's a really interesting therapy. It uses bilateral stimulation where your eyes are tracking an object back and forth while you're reprocessing memories. Research has shown that EMDR one session is the equivalent to 8 talk therapy sessions in terms of how effective it is for healing trauma. So that's one I absolutely love.
That's the one that I actually did with my therapist, and I had never heard of it until I met with her. And I was like, wait, we're going to do what now? Like, it just sounded so foreign when she explained it to me, because I had only ever heard of talk therapy. I'd only ever, you know, experienced talk therapy personally. So I was just like, hold on, what? Like, when she explained it to me, I imagined just like holding, like, I don't know, buzzers and having like wires coming out of my head. Like, I don't know, like, you know, TV, movies, like crazy things you see. And so I was just like, wait, what? It's honestly a lot simpler than you think. It's not as – it's an intense process. Do not get me wrong. But when you're doing it with, you know, somebody who is licensed to provide that kind of therapy, it's not like this – I don't know, this like mystical out there thing. Like it really is like a very valid thing, in my opinion, a valid tool to kind of experience. So I'm glad that you brought that one up. I've never talked about it here on the podcast before.
Yeah, it's awesome. There's another therapy that's really gaining traction in the trauma recovery community, and that's called internal family systems therapy. And that is basically looking at how to integrate all parts of ourselves, the vulnerable parts, the protector parts, because when we have a trauma, you know, we have that vulnerable piece of ourselves that doesn't want to get hurt again. And then we develop these attributes that are really protective in nature. And so internal family systems therapy helps us integrate all parts of ourselves and become really comfortable with all of us, which I think is half the battle in terms of personal development, is accepting who we are and loving us despite some of our foibles, and then working towards, you know, who we want to become. So internal family systems is awesome as well.
Yeah. And those are both things that you would do alongside a therapist, right? Like if somebody's listening and they're like, okay, I've never heard of either of these before. Like it's not something that you just jump on Google and like work through on your own, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, yes. Perfect. I just want to make sure so that if somebody's listening, they're not like trying to Google how to do it and like doing it at home. I would definitely say that it's, you know, something that you want to work with a professional, because that's, it's, you know, doing the work, like it's kind of, you know, it feels like an empowering thing. Like, I don't know, when I say it, like do the inner work, like to me, it's very empowering. And I'm like, yeah, I want to do the inner work. But I truly believe after years of trying to do the inner work on my own, I would say from 2017 to 2019, I was on like a, excuse my, you know, lack of a better phrase, but I was on like a personal development bender, and I was just obsessed with personal development almost to an unhealthy, you know, measure. And I was trying to make all these changes, apply all these things I was reading and listening to, and nothing was happening because I didn't know. I just didn't know how to properly go about things. You know, I'm not licensed in anything like this. And so in 2019, my husband and I had the conversation, and he was like, you know, you're trying to do, like, you want to make these shifts. You want to, you know, show up differently for your life, but you've been trying for a couple years now. Have you thought about, you know, maybe reaching out to somebody and getting, you know, like a therapist, a coach, a mentor, somebody who's licensed to help you with this kind of a thing? And I, speaking from my own experience, it's a night and day difference when you're trying to do the work on your own versus when you're working with a professional. Like my husband and I, we did our yearly vision meeting not too long ago for 2023, and we were just reflecting, and I'm putting this in air quotes too. I graduated from therapy at the end of 2023. I'm kind of just going for maintenance now, which is really a great thing. And thinking about who I was in 2020 when I started with this therapist that I've been working with for the past 3 years and who I am now, I am truly a different person. Like, you know, and it happened over time. It wasn't like an overnight thing. It really was a gradual shift throughout the years. And it just working with her completely changed my life. And so I would highly encourage, I have a couple episodes on the show that I'll link in the show notes about my therapy experience. I think, you know, a lot of people think that therapy seems like this really big, scary, overwhelming thing. And I totally, like, that's valid if you feel that way. But I would just encourage you to take a chance, like bet on yourself and give yourself that. You deserve to work with a professional. You know what I mean?
Totally. I love that. And I think it can be really intimidating, especially as a high achieving woman, because we're used to figuring out everything on our own, and we're really capable. We usually can figure everything out on our own. But one thing the brain is not good at is seeing itself. The brain does not have an ability to see itself. And so by reflecting and processing with another person who's certified and trained and licensed, you're going to just catapult your ability to rewire your brain and your nervous system.
Oh my gosh, that the way that you worded that, like the catapulting part, it reminds me an example that I know will really resonate with the Hustle Scene, the community. A lot of people ask me like, oh my gosh, how did you build your online business? Like, I have no idea where to start. Like, I know I could Google everything and figure it out and piece it together, but I would rather you just give me like your framework of how you did it so that I could get there faster. It's very, very similar with therapy. Like it's somebody giving you like, you know, the blueprint, the frameworks to help you get from point A to point B faster and more efficiently, I feel like, which if you're a high achieving woman, that's something that you're probably like, yes, like, please, I want to do this as efficiently as possible, you know?
Absolutely. And that's what we see with the clients that we work with in our program, the Mending Trauma Program, is it just, you know, they might have been trying to heal or recover from toxic stress or trauma for years and years. And once they start working with someone who, with, you know, us within our program who are licensed and certified and we specialize in it, they're able to get big gains quickly compared to the years they spent doing it on their own.
Yeah, totally. I can 100% see that being true. Okay, so you mentioned toxic stress. So I kind of want to end talking about that a little bit. So can you first tell us what toxic stress is? And then after that, kind of talk us through, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think it's realistic to say that we can totally eliminate stress from our lives. You know, like I feel like being a person in general just comes with stress, right? So can you give us some just super practical ways that high achievers can manage our stress?
Absolutely. So first of all, toxic stress is that stress that comes from a terrible event or pattern of events, usually trauma, where your brain and nervous system get dysregulated. And because you haven't dealt with what happened or didn't happen to you, it stays dysregulated. And so it starts producing tons of cortisol. It starts producing a consistent underlying toxic stress to where it's actually hurting your heart rate, your breathing. It's actually going to cause physical symptoms eventually without taking care of it. So when we talk about toxic stress, it's really aligned with trauma. When we talk about stress, stress is actually necessary for our species to survive. We need a little bit of stress in order to develop a flexible nervous system. There is a reason we have the fight flight reaction to protect us so we can stay alive. And there are going to be events, unfortunately, in our lives that we need to fight or run away from. That's just life. Now, when our system gets a little mixed up because of constant stress, we can see, you know, a child's questioning us as a threat. And that is not necessarily accurate, right? And so what happens with sustained stress over time is we start kind of miscalculating what is a true threat and what is just our system saying, I'm overwhelmed and I can't handle anymore. So a minor deadline all of a sudden is giving us a big activation in our body. So that's kind of how I would define toxic stress and stress. And in terms of how to deal with it, I think one of the best ways to deal with stress is to have a micro routine that sets you up to have a foundation to deal with all the stress that comes in our lives from being in this society and being high achievers. So for me, it includes always doing a short meditation. I love meditation. And as you said, sometimes you have to build up to it. I have a routine in the morning where I get up a little bit before the kids and I fill my own cup first. So then get the kids off to school and then I'm off to work. So I have a very small, short routine where I'm giving myself, I'm setting myself up to have an opportunity to remain calm when I need to. Mm-hmm. Coupled with stuff like breath work in the moment, a short walk, if I can fit it in, not necessarily because I'm stressed, but because I'm going to set my body up for success. And finally, sleep. Mm. I cannot say enough about sleep and how critical it is for our stress level. It literally is going to be a game changer if you can get enough sleep.
Yeah. Okay. This is incredible. Thank you for giving specific, like, tangible, concrete examples, because I feel like that is what the Hustle Sanely community really resonates with and appreciates. And I love that you called them micro routines, because I think when people hear the word routines, based on, you know, my experience as a productivity coach, some people tend to overcomplicate them. They think that they need to be these long, intricate, drawn out things, when that's not the case. We won't get into a whole rant on routines right now. But I love how you phrase that as like micro routines. And I think my goal — we're recording this in December, surprise for the listeners, you're not listening to this in real time. But my personal focus goal for December is focusing on weaving habits into my day that support a healthy cortisol level, because I feel like now that, you know, I've kind of, quote, graduated from therapy, it's just, I feel like, okay, I've really worked through a lot. I've made a lot of shifts, like the big shifts that I want to make. And now I want to kind of get my stress levels to a healthy level, and just kind of be able to keep them there. And so just doing things like monitoring my caffeine intake, really amping up my evening routine to help me get a good night's sleep, making sure that I'm not having caffeine past a certain time during the day, like things like that. And those are, I would consider, almost like micro habits or micro routines. And they're not these like big intricate things that are taking like, you know, minutes and minutes and minutes of my day. It's just me choosing, you know, to have these things at the forefront of my mind and showing up for them.
I love that. And, you know, the brain doesn't resist micro changes and micro habits. It resists large changes, but it will not resist an incremental change that, as you said, habit stacking, that you can stack and grow. And so it makes it much easier to adopt, and it makes it much more likely that you're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, it's all about, I mean, this has just been on my heart lately in my own life and, you know, in what I'm teaching to others, just like consistency over time is really what creates change in our lives. And it's something that we hear all the time, and people can like roll their eyes like, yeah, sure, whatever you say. But it really is true. Even with my business, we passed the 5-year mark in September of last year. This is the longest I've ever, you know, done one thing in my life. And I feel like just showing up consistently over time has been so fruitful in my business. And so I'm like, okay, then it's obviously going to carry over into my life as well. Me showing up consistently over time with these small micro habits, micro routines, that's what's really going to actually kind of change my entire life and how I show up for my life, how I feel as I'm going through my life. So I'm really glad that we were able to kind of touch on this whole concept of like micro habits and micro routines.
Yeah, it's so critical to just changing our lives, whether it's from stress, toxic stress, trauma, it's all about those micro habits for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, is there anything that you would like to add about trauma, healing trauma, toxic stress, coping with toxic stress, before we kind of wrap this up?
I think the main thing, I always want people to understand, there is so much hope that all of the behaviors that came out of trauma were for their benefit and survival. And so we want to be kind to ourselves about those habits. And you don't have to do this alone. There is so much support out there. And I would just encourage your listeners to take hope, have hope in their heart, and to align themselves with a program or someone who can help them when they're ready to take that step towards healing.
Oh, such beautiful advice. Well, Dr. Amy, thank you so much for joining us today and so freely sharing your wisdom, your experiences, and just really giving us tips and tools and strategies that we can put into place immediately, especially with the breath work, everyone, to really help us show up as high achieving women, but without kind of being buried under the stress that can sometimes come along with that. Where can the Hustle Sanely community go to learn more about you and all that you have to offer?
Well, I'm on Instagram at Mending Trauma and then mendingtrauma.com. We have information about our trauma recovery program that is run by my sisters and I. And and I have a podcast, the Mending Trauma podcast, if you want to just start listening and seeing if anything resonates. But I've really enjoyed our conversation. I'm so glad we got to talk today, Jess.
Yes, me too. And I truly know that this is going to benefit so many of the listeners. And I'll be sure to link all of the resources that you mentioned in the show notes so that everything is super easy to find so that they can kind of plug in and have that hope and seek support. I feel like, you know, we were kind of saying like, okay, don't go Google everything and try to do it on your own. So yes, the internet can be a little bit detrimental, but also it's such a beautiful space to connect with people who can guide you in that journey. And I feel like you are someone that I can refer people to when they're looking for, you know, if they're a little bit nervous about, you know, starting something in person, like this might be something that's just a little bit more in their lane for this season of life. So I'm so grateful for the work that you do. And like I said, I'm just so grateful for this conversation. Thank you again.
Thank you, Jess.